Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Be there in the morning.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. This is John Chuckery Show. Head to the final hour of the show, Brown Liquor Music Hour. A little Chaka Khan. Chuckery always gets the first request, so picked a little Chaka Khan tonight to get us started. 404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Don't forget we stream online. If you go to 929thegame.com, that's where you catch us live, replays of all the shows. Download the radio.com app. Put that on your device. That way you can catch us on the go. And also the cool new feature about listening back in real time to anything going on in any of the shows over the past 24 hours as well. Social media for the stations at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The best way to keep up with this particular show is to do it through our personal Twitter handle. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. It's at that point of the show. Let's get to our NFL squib kick.
Taking a look at the NFL with the squib kick with John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All right, a few things to get into tonight. So the Jacksonville Jaguars announced that they are going to play two games in London in 2020 to help boost revenue. They say the Jaguars are spearheading a proposed $700 million entertainment district development around their stadium that would result in additional revenue. But until that happens, Jaguars president Mark Lamping said adding another home game in London is the right action for the team to take. Quote, "For clubs like the Jaguars, we are entering an uncertain time. That uncertain time is related to three teams that in the past were teams that were with us in the bottom of the league in terms of revenue. They have taken steps that we would not consider, but they've taken steps to fix their revenue by leaving Oakland, by leaving St. Louis, and by leaving San Diego. That has had an impact in terms of all other teams that are where we are in terms of the leagues." They say that we know that Lot J, which is the entertainment district that they're proposing, in conjunction with all the things that Shad Khan has already invested in, those will continue to pay dividends for us, but we can't snap our fingers and get Lot J open tomorrow. So we're waiting to go from where we are now, which is Lot J to just the vision, to it actually being open. We need to be looking for those opportunities to supplement our revenue situation, and we believe that London fits the bill. Doesn't it feel like, I know what they're saying about, you know, this entertainment district and all this kind of stuff. Doesn't it feel like that they're going to end up in London when all is said and done? I know the NFL wants a team there. The NFL would love to have a Super Bowl there. It just feels more and more like London, you know, what's the song, London Calling? Feels more and more like that for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, listen, I get it. You got to make more money, but if you can't make more money in the States, then maybe it is time to start thinking about going over there. So, trying to see, they haven't, they said the games will be held on back-to-back Sundays. Dates and opponents will be announced in April when the league reveals the schedule. It says, though, the Jaguars did protect home games against Pittsburgh and Chicago, so the opponents will come from this list: Houston, Indy, Tennessee, Cleveland, Detroit, Miami. Now, of course, Houston, Indy, and Tennessee are all in their division. Cleveland, Detroit, and Miami outside of the division. So, like I said, you got to do what you got to do to get the money flowing in there. And if they're not willing to move, that to me still, though, when a team tells you they're not willing to move or whatever like that, they're willing to move. Shad Khan, in responding, says, "I think if you go back and when the first game was announced and really historically what that's done for the city and done with the Jaguars, so my expectation is it should be very positive. Everything we're doing helps the city help us, and that's what you need a small market team to do to get on a competitive footing with all the resources you need to compete with the other big market teams. I still say they should have gone after Drew Brees and gone after a big-time quarterback. I mean, a big-time quarterback. Not Nick Foles. I mean, big-time quarterback. They should have put $84 million for 2 years on the table and said, here you go, Drew Brees. Tell us no. Make him say no. I'd have put it out there for them and make them have to say no because they were that close to going to the Super Bowl. They were a Super Bowl team. Just didn't have a quarterback. Same old story for a lot of teams. So speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, so they have hired ex-49ers GM Trent Baalke as director of player personnel. So you remember he spent 6 years as the GM and brought in Jim Harbaugh, Jim Tomsula, and Chip Kelly. Remember, he was there for the Super Bowl season. They made three consecutive NFC Championship game appearances as well. He's the guy that brought in Jim Harbaugh. He went from executive of the year to a few years later getting fired for all of it. Of course, drafted Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reid, Carlos Hyde, Jimmy Ward, a lot of those guys that made the Super Bowl team for them. He replaces Chris Polian, who was fired after seven seasons with the Jaguars as well. So, you know, the Jaguars made all kinds of moves. They got rid of Tom Coughlin as well. All those changes that they made within their front office. You know, trying to shake things up, trying to get back. They've got talent on that team still. They've gotten rid of a lot of talent, but they still have talent on the team. They should have 2 years ago, though, should have rolled the dice on trying to get a quarterback, but they didn't. They didn't. So the mayor of San Antonio wants the draft there. When does our mayor come out and get the draft here, by the way? Since the NFL moved the draft out of New York, it's been traveling around the country. The latest to get involved in it, the mayor of San Antonio, Mayor Ron Nirenberg, told KSAT Radio that San Antonio would be a strong host for the draft. Quote, we are a destination city. We pull off major sporting events better than any city in the country, and that has been on display for a long time. With the recent success of the AAF and Final Four and so forth, it makes sense. Are you sure the AAF is what you want to hitch your wagon to? Because they didn't even last one full season. You sure the AAF is what you want? Now, the Final Four has been there a bunch of times because the Alamo Dome and stuff like that. I don't know if they pull off sporting events better because I don't remember the Super Bowl being there. I don't remember the World Series, NBA Finals, or anything like that. Well, I take that back. NBA Finals, of course, have been there because they had the San Antonio Spurs, you know, out there. But you understand what I'm saying. I don't know how many major events outside the Final Four that they've had there. It's a great town, San Antonio. I've been there. It's pretty cool. I don't know if it's a destination spot per se, but okay. Why is Atlanta not on this list? Huh? Las Vegas has got it this year. Cleveland is next year. Kansas City is in 2023. A 2022 host has not been yet chosen. Why is that not Atlanta? Why would Atlanta not be on this list immediately to get the NFL draft to come in here? It's bad enough we can't get Betts or anybody like that, you know? I mean, but listen, as I always say, at least the Braves have their precious, precious projects. At least they have their precious prospects, I should say. At least they have their precious prospects that they've been able to hang on to. Thank goodness. So listen, if you're a fan of the Mississippi Braves, the Rome Braves, the Gwinnett Braves, you know, the Buford Braves, you're in luck. Prospects aren't moving. Whew. Well, we avoided a bad season down in double A and triple A this year. So anyway, looking at the Modern Era Hall of Fame class that was announced over the weekend, in fact, Saturday afternoon when all of this came out. So the guys that are going in, Steve Atwater, Isaac Bruce, Steve Hutchinson, Edgerrin James, Troy Polamalu. I don't have a problem with any of those guys getting in. I really don't. You know, Isaac Bruce is one of those guys that gets mixed up in that whole group of wide receivers, including his teammate, by the way, Torrey Holt. I mean, Isaac probably did it longer and better than some of those guys. I get it. You know, but still, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a problem with Isaac Bruce getting in. There's a gluttony of wide receivers that are kind of you know, on that list of who needs to go in, who doesn't need to go in. Steve Atwater, I was a big Steve Atwater fan. I thought Troy Polamalu was one of the best safeties of all time. I got no problem with that. Edgerrin James is interesting. You know, Edgerrin James only made like one all-pro team in his entire career for how great he was for all the numbers. But he was part of that trilogy that brought the Colts back, right? Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, and Edgerrin James. It feels like they should all be in together, right? They brought them back to prominence and won the Super Bowl and all those kinds of things. By the way, Edgerrin James had a pretty good couple of seasons in Arizona. You know, he ran for over 1,100 yards in each of those seasons out there. Steve Hutchinson, what have I told you? He's one of the most underrated offensive linemen in the history of the league. That's Quentin Nelson, by the way. The next Steve Hutchinson in the NFL is Quentin Nelson of the Colts. Speaking of the Colts, Quentin Nelson is the next Steve Hutchinson. Steve Hutchinson was a great offensive lineman. I'm glad guys like him are getting in. Of course, played at Michigan. He was a great offensive lineman. So I really got no issue with the five guys that they have selected. I don't scratch my head at any of them. To me, they all feel like they were, you know, elite players at their position. They were the best of the best of the best, as they said in Men in Black out there. So that seems like a pretty good group. I don't like this whole 20 player, you know, the whole centennial thing with 20 people going in. It's just too much. And I don't know what they're going to do about speeches or whatever like that, but it's just, the whole thing is just too much. Just too much to have that many people go in to the Hall of Fame. And Dion's right. Hugh and I chopped this up on Saturday. I think the Hall of Fame's kind of watered down. I think baseball especially. I think the Baseball Hall of Fame is enormously watered down. But, I mean, listen, that's what it is. Guys have their guys, and guys get in because they're fan favorites and things like that. I mean, I still say I think Howie Long's in the Hall of Fame because he's a broadcaster that looks good on Fox. Howie Long was a pretty darn good football player. I get it. I watched Howie Long play. Saw his career, okay? I don't think Howie Long was a Hall of Famer. I don't think he was better than those. When they lined up in the Super Bowl, I don't think he was better than Dexter Manley or Charles Mann on those against, you know, when he, you know, played against the Redskins in that one Super Bowl. I thought those guys were better defensive players than Howie Long was. But anyway, so not a bad list. You know, you can always make cases for other guys, but you got five guys to pick and put in there. I got no issue with any of those guys. All right, we get back. No more 44 to kick around. So now what direction do the Falcons go? We'll discuss that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. It is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Hot Take Tommy. It's coming up after that. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to interact with us. Don't forget, follow me on social media. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Well, we got news earlier today that the Atlanta Falcons would not be pursuing contract negotiations with one number 44, Vic Beasley. Thus, as of for right now, most likely ending what was a very mixed 5 years of Vic Beasley and what he did for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, to be clear, the Falcons would not have gotten to the Super Bowl and gotten where they were without Beasley's 15.5 sacks. That was an important thing that he did for this team. A lot of it is Matt Ryan, but there's a definite part of the fact that Vic Beasley and his 15.5 sacks played a big role in all of that. Now, obviously, Vic Beasley's, you know, such an enigma in this town. You know, you look at the raw numbers and you talk about the 8 sacks, but, you know, this goes back to the Peter King theory about things. Peter King knows more about the NFL all across the league than you and I will ever know. But we know more about the Atlanta Falcons because we watch them, we cover them, we follow them every single day, day in, day out. We watch every play. We get updates about practices. We get updates about it. We get in-tune information, you know, about this particular franchise more than anything else. So we're always in the loop on everything Falcons related. We never miss a story for it. And when you see him,
you say the 8 sacks. Somebody's going to get fooled into overpaying for Vic Beasley. Part of that is that's what free agency is that you do that kind of stuff. But part of it is not seeing him day in, day out the way that we do. I've said before, I would take Vic Beasley back for the Atlanta Falcons if you could get him on a short, low number contract. If you told me that he was $4 million for 1 year or two years at $8 million, I'd take that. I would actually. Because that's a cheap pass rusher. And you put him in a scenario where his only job is to go rush and sack the quarterback. I'd be okay with that. And y'all know how I feel about, about Vic Beasley and you know, what he's meant. You know, now listen, the 8 sacks looks good on paper, but a lot of that comes when Falcons were out of it, when the Falcons were no longer any kind of playoff threat. You know, and they almost set the record for most consecutive games without a sack in the history of the NFL. That's a pretty tough stat to pull off and a stat that you absolutely don't want to be in the mix for, but the Falcons, you know, were there. So now it begs the question about what to do in that spot, because the Falcons already have a glaring hole. Even with Vic Beasley, the Falcons were a bad pass rush team. Now you don't even have his 8 sacks to go along with him. So free agency or draft? Well, we talked about free agency. You're talking about guys that are like Jadeveon Clowney and Robert Quinn. You know, the young guys like Armstead for the 49ers, he ain't going nowhere. You know, double-digit sack guy, he ain't going anywhere. They'll franchise him and they'll sign him to a big deal. But you don't let young pass-rushing studs get away. And they just went to the Super Bowl with Armstead and Bosa going after the quarterback. So he's not going anywhere. So if you look at the crop of free agents, it's a little older group, 29, 30, 31, 32 years old in that range. Which to me, you know, if you told me you're bringing one of those guys again on a lower deal, then I'm okay with that. Those guys by themselves to me don't do enough. Then you get into the draft, which for me personally, I think is where they have to go spend their capital. Now, I do believe with 3 picks in the top 55, they won't pick 3 times. And they certainly won't pick 3 times there. I do think that the Falcons will make a push to get up in the draft, whoever that's for. If that was for Chase Young, we talked about the idea of going after it. You're going to have to get to 2. But if you went after Chase Young, or what's the kid out of Iowa? Epeniza out of Iowa. You got the other kid out of Penn State, you know, or if you want a guy that's just an all-around defender, you know, maybe it's Derek Brown, maybe it's Isaiah Simmons. You know, those guys are not your typical pass rushers. Simmons, I think, had 8 sacks last year, but Simmons does everything. He can play safety, he can play linebacker, play end, he can play everywhere on the field. So me personally, I think the draft is more of the way to go than do overspend on a guy for his past accomplishments, because that's what you'd be doing with guys like Quinn and Clowney and guys like that, is you're more paying for what they did previously versus what they can give you right now. And you look at the list of guys, I don't know if there's a lot of upside. Could you catch lightning in a bottle for 1 year, 2 years out of those guys? Yeah, you very well might be able, you know, to do that. But I think going young at that spot is more of a way to go. Now, that obviously puts a lot more pressure on the idea of you not only have to draft right, but you've got to coach Tack McKinley right. Because if Tack McKinley is only going to be a non-factor 3 or 4 sack type of threat, that's not going to help any rookie out. Unless you get your hands on a Joey Bosa, who's a game wrecker, you know, or his brother Nick Bosa, you know, I mean, unless you get the, you know, one of those kinds of guys to get after the quarterback, you're going to have Tack step his game up to take some pressure off a potential young guy. So me personally, I think it's go through the draft. I do think the Falcons will move up to try to go get whatever guy they identify. I'd rather spend the capital. I'd rather sacrifice draft picks and go get young than I would be to use up free agency money on guys that just have a lot of questions. That, listen, Quinn's been productive. Clowney's had productive, you know, times and moments and years. But the idea of trying to catch lightning in a bottle with one of those veterans, and they have their issues for a reason, you know, whether it's health or productivity or whatever like that. Like I said, it's not a great group of veteran pass rushers that's out there. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Alexander in Riverdale, what's going on, man?
Hey, Chuck, evening to you. I completely agree with you in regards to the draft. And the biggest reason why, I know it's an offseason, a lot of people talk about work and trying to keep them. You don't spend the need on a tight end unless you develop them into one of the best of all time or something. But I don't think it's worth that. Devontae Campbell, man, he really developed this past year. I was really sour on him. I didn't think he really fit the defense, but he really showed me. Actually played, yeah, I played Deion Jones by leaps and bounds. So I think you keep Campbell. And you said it right, man. Going after Derrick Brown a defensive staff. Derrick Brown is the guy I think you go after because as good as Grady may be, he hasn't been effective since Dante Fuller's up. And don't get me wrong. I mean, he has been, but not as effective as he could be, but they are equally as good defensive staff. So I understand what you're saying. I completely agree as far as the draft pick. But I think this is an issue, Trevor. You tell me this. Are we going to get one of Dan Quinn's fuckers that is his guy? Or Carter Allen, a Neal, or somebody that's his guy, or Beasley, that he wants to try to develop and take away a spot or a roster for a guy that can make our team better.
Well, thanks, Alexander. There's no doubt about the fact that the guy that if they're going to draft, it's going to be a guy that Dan really feels comfortable with. I mean, the options are either Dan's got to be the lead in that decision or Thomas has got to be the lead in that decision. I mean, it's one or the other. So, you know, that's what you're left with. That's the evaluation. There's no more Scott Pioli here. You know, or some of those guys. I mean, yeah, I mean, they'll consult. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's Dan and Thomas that make that ultimate decision. Danny in North Atlanta. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, before we get to our monthly argument, I got to make you laugh. My thrill of the Super Bowl was Mel. And we all know Mel calling Harper LaBelle on Saturday saying that he had bet a ton of money on the over.
Wow. Wow. What was the over?
Was 54.5 and he
wow.
was he's gonna he you know how Mel talked about a ton of money.
Wow. Man, that means Mel had one less trip to the liquor store that day. Wow.
I know that. Well, John, John, I'm falling asleep. I'm getting ready to go to work and I heard you say that there would be a condition that you would re-sign Vic Beasley. Listen, I wouldn't take that guy back for a dollar. His work ethic is horrible. He wouldn't come to off-season workouts. I just couldn't believe you said that.
When you're a team that doesn't have anything, right now this team, you got to understand, they have nothing. They have nothing to rush the court. Don't sell me on Tack McKinley right now because we don't know. I'm telling you, Tack McKinley's fighting for his life to be here for a fifth year. They have nothing. If I could get Vic Beasley cheap, because you're going to, any veteran that you bring in is going to cost you several million dollars.
You're right about the draft. I let's cool the draft, but I can't stand guys who don't give 110%.
With all due respect, I'm putting him in a position where I need him to be a situational pass rusher. That's why he has to come cheap. That's why it has to be, you know, in my world, it'd have to be a short-term deal and cheap. The problem is, Danny, is that Vic Beasley's not going into his first free agency ever looking for short and cheap. You know,
Well, who's going to sign him, John, to a long term? I mean, Danny,
how many bums in the NFL? How many teams teams signed Brandon Whedon? You know, teams sign bums all the time. How many shots did Trent Richardson get? He's a bum. I told you guys on draft night he was a bum. And three teams took him. Bums get signed all the time for money in this league because of potential and things like that. Somebody's going to look at his raw numbers and say, listen, Danny, you know this. You get these teams that have $90 million that they have to spend in free agency. They got to sign somebody.
Well, but that's the other tragedy, John. We talked for a long time, for many years. I've never seen the Falcons in the salary cap hell they're in right now. I mean, it's horrible.
I mean, listen, and I appreciate the phone call, Danny. They're not nearly as bad as what y'all think. They're going to move money around with Matt and everybody else. They've got money to move around. Part of why they've rolled the dice is because Arthur said, this is Arthur rolling the dice. We talk about being all in. Why do you think he signs Debo and Grady and those guys and says, we're going to make you Falcons front? Because he's all in. He's all in to win the Super Bowl. That's it. That's the only reason. He wants the Super Bowl. At least give him credit for that. All right, as the Braves miss out on another superstar player that just got moved, the top three concerns for the Braves, as believe it or not, we're only about a week away from spring training getting going. Crazy to think about. It's all next. Chuck Greene, the Key Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in the Key Studios. This is John Chuckery's show, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock. Hot Take Tommy, he's coming up next, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Don't forget, follow me on social media. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. We'll be back with you on Thursday night. Jarvis will be back. My thanks to Jahi for hanging in there and helping us out over the last like week or so. I feel like Jarvis has been gone for a while, man. He's been on a hiatus for a while. So he'll be back on Thursday as we get cranked back up at it. So Braves getting ready, believe it or not, as we had the huge news that Mookie Betts and David Price are moving on to the Dodgers. A lot of moving parts in that trade, by the way. Jock Peterson, they're freeing up money. Jock Peterson's moving. Kent Maeda, he's moving to Minnesota. There's a lot of moving pieces and parts involved in this trade. Part of it is that the Red Sox are trying to get below the luxury tax, so they're going to get, looks like they're going to get below that. I think the Dodgers are going to be over. A lot of moving pieces to all of this. I don't think it's even shook out all that way yet. But, you know, interesting anyway, the Dodgers are going for it. But don't worry, I'm holding all my thoughts in about that on Thursday. I'm trying to make sure my voice is still strong enough when we hit to Thursday on all of this. So, but as the Braves get ready, about a week away from spring training getting underway, pitchers and catchers reporting. My three biggest concerns for the Braves. Now, I guess maybe four is how I should look at this, because I'm kind of adding in one caveat that's sort of like my number one. And I'll still go back, and if we're going to play who's the a-hole, I'll go ahead and take the hit, and you can call me the a-hole, and you can get mad and frustrated when I say this, because I know he's the good guy and Sporting News Manager of the Year and back-to-back Manager of the Year and all that. My number one concern is what's the manager going to do when the playoffs come? Because I'll tell you right now, I don't feel like we have any sort of advantage when the playoffs come with the manager. How he handles his rotation, how he handles his bench, how he handles high leverage situations and things like that. I don't think we have an advantage. I don't. I think Dave Martinez pushed a lot of good buttons for the Washington Nationals last year. I don't think we have that same advantage. No. I like A.J. Hinch. I think A.J. Hinch is a pretty good manager. I think he did a lot for that organization. Did they cheat? Yeah, everybody cheats, though. Oh, no, they don't. Yes, they do. Stop living a lie. Everybody cheats. They do. You think that's the only two teams in Major League Baseball with all that technology, and they're the only two teams in all of Major League Baseball that decided to use it, huh? Okay. Well, you are naive, man. I've got beachfront property in Iowa that I will gladly sell you, and I'll make a mint off of it. So throw the manager in there. Number two is, I think, is there enough protection for Freddie Freeman? Yes, they got Marcell Ozuna. Marcell Ozuna, when he makes contact, it goes a long way. But, you know, he's one of those, you know, high strikeout kinds of guys. Doesn't hit for huge average. It doesn't have, really, truthfully, either a big on-base percentage. So he's not a guy that's going to get a lot of walks or anything like that. I still think the two numbers to really watch on Freddie Freeman is, do his home runs go down and do his walks go up? Because I wonder if the bat will be taken out of. Who would you rather pitch to? Freddie Freeman or Marcell Ozuna? Okay? I mean, I think that's a pretty straightforward question, you know, for it. So I think teams will have that approach. Don't be surprised if Freddie Freeman doesn't see nearly the kind of pitches that he did at times last year. Let's say what you will about Markakis, but he's a professional hitter. He's not going to drive the ball out of the ballpark, but he can make a lot of contact. He can draw walks, you know, and he can, you know, hit for a pretty good average. That's not what Marcell Ozuna does. Marcell Ozuna's big swing and whack it all around the yard. And he can hit it a long way and he can hit it, you know, pretty regularly, you know, out of the ballpark, but there's a reason why he doesn't drive in a ton of runs. And he hasn't replicated that season from Miami, both from a production and health standpoint. So I worry about some of the protection. By the way, too, if he plays the same kind of number of games that he, let me see what it was. I'm trying to get the actual number of games each of the last 2 years. So he's averaged the last 2 years. He's averaged, 278 games. So that's, 278? That's 140 games that he's averaged. So who's going to protect Freddie the other 25, 30 times when he's not in the lineup? Who's going to protect him that other 30 times? You know, if he's playing under 140 games, who's going to get that other 25 to 30 games, when he's got that? So that is a concern of mine. Excuse me. The other thing too, bench depth. I know Charlie Culberson's got the minor league deal. I did like the Echeverria signing. I like bringing him back. I think he did some really nice things. I think that's some good signings. But I have some questions about what this bench depth will look like when all is said and done. You know, out there. I still not crazy about Tyler Flowers as the backup catcher. So I think there are some issues there about how good their bench is. Also, too, and this is kind of one that you know, take this for what you will, but who wants to be that legit number three starter? You know, on some of these teams that we talk about, these you know, high playoff teams, you know, Walker Buehler was the number three starter for the Dodgers. You know, Zach Greinke was the number three starter for the Houston Astros. You know, the high tide teams, you know, have really good guys that go past just one and two. I'm curious as to see how that shakes out, because you need a good third starter. That person is going to pitch in the playoffs. That person is going to have a lot of say over how successful your season is. You know, unless you tell me we've got Schilling and Johnson up top, which maybe that's what Sorokin Fried is. Maybe they're Schilling and Johnson. I mean, they're not the same style of pitcher, obviously, but maybe they're that good. But who's going to be? Is it going to be Cole Hamels? Is it going to be Mike Fultonevich? Is it going to be Sean Newcomb? You know, and I understand stuff and things like that, but who does it? Who takes that legitimate third starter spot and runs with it and can be consistent, you know? Because you want that third guy to get you 150, 160, you know, maybe 170 innings in today's baseball. You know, because you can't have every starter try to go five and you just keep burning out your bullpen. That's a tough road to go as well. So you need a guy who can at least give you some innings in that number three spot. Which one of those guys is it? Is it Hamels? Is it Fulte? You know, who gets that? And think about this. You know, we're talking about Mike Fultonevich as being, you know, no higher than the number three starter, considering that, you know, going into last season, had he been healthy, he would have been their number one guy. He would have been the number one starter for this team had he been healthy going into last season. And I know he had a good down the stretch. You know, Joe talked about that with me earlier. But that's the way it is always with Fulte. 2 years ago, it was a really good first half, not so great second half. Last year, it was not so great second half, really good first half. Not so good first half, good second half. I need more consistency than that. Problem is Mike Fultonevich is not one of those young guys anymore from the standpoint of he's pitched a lot. You should be able to get a better read on him. Yeah, when Fultonevich is on, he's as good as there is, no doubt about it. But does he have enough of those in him? I would like to see it be Mike Fultonevich because I think he has the stuff and the moxie to do it at times. But I'll say again, it's hard for us to trust him. It's hard to trust Mike Fultonevich after some of the performances that we got. You can tell me about game 2 in the playoffs But the elimination game was the one that he pitched in, and that was an epic disaster. Not he kind of hung in there. Not he kind of struggled. That was the epic disaster of all epic disasters. That made epic disasters look mild. All right, going to wrap things up. Coming up next, Love TKO, then over to Hot Take Tommy. It's all next. Chuck in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.